It's Reese on the radio.
And Ren, don't say we didn't warn you. On News Talk 1080, WTIC.
I'm really upset. I'm going to have to fix this darn thing. I don't even know. It was messed up in that way. Congratulations. It goes out to, give me a second here, and I apologize because I should have had that ready to go. Congratulations to Joan D. in Broadbrook. She is today's winner of the Dozen Bagels a Month for 6 months, courtesy of Between Rounds, the Bagel Bakery and Sandwich Cafe, located in South Windsor, Vernon, and Manchester. Don't forget, we are actually working it out very soon. It should be in the coming weeks. We're going to do a Between Rounds live broadcast there, do the show from 2 till 6 at one of the locations. I believe we're going to do Vernon and South Windsor. I'm almost certain of that, but I will give you all the details as soon as I know it. As soon as everybody knows it, and you know, we'll do the whole thing where you guys will get there. Somebody just asked me, what happened to the Facebook feed? I don't know. So what you have to do is, and I think what we're going to have to do is, because I cannot rely on Facebook to do it, and I know all of you are there, we're just going to have to go over to YouTube. So just find my YouTube channel. You can. It's very easy. Just link it. If you can't find it, go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, click on the YouTube, and it'll send you right to the page so you can you can do that. So you can chime in the chat room there. Plus, we don't have a lot of people over at YouTube because I don't even really promote it like that. So go to the YouTube page. I think we may have to just say, you know, Facebook no more. I don't know what's up with Meta, and it might be a Meta problem. So I don't want to have to deal with that anymore. So we'll just do that in the meantime. Also coming up in a couple of minutes, in fact, she's on the line now. We'll get to her. Nadine Thomas of Underground New England is going to join us. We'll talk to her about the story we broke to you yesterday about human trafficking in Hartford. She's going to talk about what her organization is doing to help victims of trafficking in and around the New England area, because there are so many things and so many details going on. She doesn't know all that much about this particular case with the 8 men or the 7 men who have been arrested, but there are telltale signs because a lot of people in Connecticut and Hartford in particular have children who run away, who get lost in the sauce. Even if they have DCF cases, we never hear from them again, and they don't get very far. Some of those children are being sex trafficked right in the state, right under the noses of everyone. And so Nadine is here to talk about that and tell us some of the things that she's experienced and some of the victims that she's helped and how you can help as well. Let's get another check of weather and traffic. Mark Christopher is here again in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
It's Reese on the radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Yep, we are back. And without further ado, Nadine Thomas is on the phones. I actually, Nadine, you know, I was watching WFSB on this crazy story about the 7 men who, you know, were involved in this trafficking scheme. And if I may, if I may say so, and I know you're going to have to correct me, but it's my naivete, not anything else. The thing that I found odd about this story was that, how do I put this? This sounds crazy, but the fact that it happened in Hartford and the fact that it happened with these men who are African-American and or black, for that matter, was odd to me. And let me explain why. Is that usually when we see these stories or we hear these stories, it is rare that the perpetrators are black men. Not that there's a demographic or a racial component to it. It's just that we've seen it in other places and in other ways. And it's usually outside of the purview of, you know, our regular American citizens. Is that strange for me? Am I out of sorts? Because does it take all kinds?
You know, Reese, you may not be too far off on your assumptions.
Okay.
That's what we see a lot of. But that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
What we have found in our interaction with survivors is people of color are among the highest demographic that is trafficking. Where trafficking is happens.
Yes, that I know, Nadine. But what? Yes. And this again, it sounds racial in my description, but I don't mean it to be in a racial way. I'm trying to be honest to the conversation. Is that we see it a lot happening within Hispanic communities or Latino communities? Uh-huh, that's my point.
I totally get it. But I think one of the things that we have found just interacting with survivors is that trafficking in the African American community is kind of hidden.
Right. Okay.
It's covered by culture and music and norms, so it becomes a part of the culture.
Oh.
And so it is. A number of times, what happens is when we go out to places in the community to host awareness events, individuals will come to us and say, "This happened to me. I didn't realize I was being trafficked."
Oh, okay. So
I think that's one of the problems, and that's why it seemed odd to you that all the traffickers were black men.
Yeah. So in essence, you're saying that culturally, not being able to recognize the person is being trafficked, they're just thinking that this is, although it may be a criminal behavior, they wouldn't associate it with a trafficking crime. That's my naivete here. Oh, okay. Good. No, I totally appreciate understanding that I'm naive in this because what's important is that there may be plenty of us who have seen trafficking but didn't recognize it because we see it as something that, you know, maybe Hollywood or television might depict, and there may be other things. Can you explain to me what trafficking is or things that are trafficking that we may not have seen on the surface?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we do at the underground. We're out to change the narrative of what everybody thinks trafficking is.
Okay.
A lot of times we think it's being kidnapped.
Okay.
An individual is taken, just like the movies, like you said. The big white van and the child is grabbed off the street.
Right.
But trafficking is any kind of exploitation for whether it's labor or commercial sexual activity where there's an exchange of something of value.
Okay.
Now, it can be as simple as a brother getting a phone or a pair of shoes or sneakers or some money from his football team or a member of his football team to sleep with his sister.
Wow.
Or his girlfriend. It could be a gang that holds a family at ransom and say, "Give us your child," and
wow.
That child is sold. It could be a boyfriend who says to a girlfriend, "If you love me, if you want to help me, or if you want me to stay, then you'll do this for me."
Wow.
So it comes in all shapes and sizes. It comes in so many different ways.
Yeah, and it's not like in many ways. I think that we look at it, I think as you're explaining it to me, is that we see that we understand it as being under the cover of a threat, but it doesn't matter. Some of it is just coercion, as you said, with the boyfriend and the girlfriend. "You'll do this for me if you love me. You know, you will behave in this fashion," that, you know, using that individual to obtain money, a form of prostitution, if you will.
Absolutely.
That is all in the purview.
Coercion.
I'm sorry?
Force, fraud, or coercion. Those are the three circumstances that law enforcement would look for or what we look for to determine human trafficking.
Damn.
If it's a child, if it's under 18 years old, if the individual is under 18 years old, there's no need to prove that you were forced, there was force, fraud, or coercion.
Right.
But as an adult, unfortunately, the burden of proof is on the adult to prove that there was force, fraud, or coercion.
Can some of this, because you were talking about the forms of trafficking, and the trafficking that you're helping folks with is not just sexual trafficking. A lot of trafficking that's happening, even more so, is labor trafficking, which in essence, somebody's paying off a debt or somebody's being used to pay off some. It doesn't even have to be gambling. It just has to be some form of some debt. And in paying it back, that individual commits crimes or does something for the individual holding them in that trafficking space. I want to ask you this, since we're going down that well, We had a case not too long ago. Roland and I were talking about it, where a man was arrested for using teenagers to rob stores.
Uh-huh.
And he was accused of, I think the charge he was endangering the welfare of a child, but he wasn't considered trafficking. Because I looked at that and said, if he's got kids stealing from stores and he's getting the loot after they robbed the store, I was asking, is that a form of labor trafficking? Would you constitute it as the same?
I absolutely would constitute it as trafficking. A number of survivors that we come across, that we've come across and worked with, are still struggling with criminal records from criminal activities that their traffickers forced them to do as children or as youths. So, of course, I mean, I'm surprised. I've not heard about that case, but I'm surprised that that individual would not be seen as having trafficked. The problem with labor trafficking, Reese, is that it's not been given the kind of attention that sex trafficking has been given. But I'm glad to see that there are these organizations, national and even statewide, that is just putting things in place to put more focus on labor trafficking, because there is more labor trafficking that is going on even right here in Connecticut than we realize or that we even care to think about.
Yeah. We're on the phone with Nadine Thomas of Underground New England. Your organization is primarily based in Connecticut. You do a lot of work here, but you have expanded into the New England area. Talk to me a little bit about the victims that you do help, because I would imagine you folks treat those victims like you would battered wives or battered girlfriends in that way. You find them safety or security? Do you find them shelters? Yeah. What's the process of when someone who is trafficked, who needs a place, like, how do they escape, and how do they escape to you?
So we work with adult survivors.
Okay.
So our survivors come to us when they have aged out of a child, you know, human trafficking assistance program.
Okay.
Such as DCF and other organizations. So when they've aged out of those systems, they're referred to us. Our clients come to us from law enforcement, the FBI, the local police department.
Oh, wow.
Our clients come to us from hospitals. Our clients find us online or maybe on a hotline card or some literature that we have out there with our information, and they will call us directly. We have clients who who literally just plan an escape, or we've met survivors, let me say that, who literally have escaped their trafficker.
Wow.
And just called us, and we've made arrangements, and we bring them to safety.
And now you don't, once these people have left whatever jurisdiction they were a part of, right? Let's say it's the FBI. Let's say it's with INS or whomever for that matter, right? They get into your hands. You are taking care of them after the process, right? You're not having to deal with them while they continue, like maybe they're testifying in a court case or anything like that. Are you just trying to get them as far away from their trafficker as possible, or keep them hidden? How difficult is for you to do that? And if you're not dealing with them just after the fact and they're still involved with law enforcement in some sort of way, how difficult is it for you to keep them safe?
Our program offers a wraparound service to our clients.
Wow.
So each of our clients has two mentors that work alongside them. And that mentor is there to provide whatever support they need. Hmm. If it's support to see a medical practitioner, they're there. If it's support to file a complaint or a case against their trafficker, they're there. If it's a case, if it's to answer charges, the criminal charges that occur during trafficking, they're there. So we provide whatever support that specific client needs, because our program is tailored to the individual need. It's not a blanket program.
Okay.
It is, yes, you know, it's really tailored to the individual need and requirement. But as much as possible, we do try to, I mean, all our clients are safe, and okay, all our clients that are in our program, all the survivors in our program, are completely safe from their trafficker.
Can I ask you?
And we take steps to make sure that happens.
That's good. That's fantastic, because I know that there are people who probably know someone who's dealing with this issue and wondering if there is a safe space for them to go. Many of them, the fear that they have of getting out of their situation is having nowhere to go. Which, by the way, I encourage you, if you're interested in finding more about Nadine's organization, the Underground New England, I need you to go to theundergroundne.org. That is theundergroundne.org. You can volunteer, you can donate, and you can help out and spread the word. So please do, because Nadine's doing everything that she can to get the word out. You are the executive director of the organization?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been doing this kind of work?
I've been with the organization since December 23.
Okay. What inspired you to get involved in this? Was it personal, or was it just an opportunity that sort of came your way? Or somebody like coming to you and say, hey, Nadine, this is an organization I think you'd like to work for?
Actually, I've really been a part of social work all my life.
Ah.
I've been working with, you know, disadvantaged population, let me put it that way.
Gotcha.
And so when this opportunity came, it was just a natural shift. It was my first time working directly with survivors of human trafficking. But, you know, having experience working with individuals who've been through all different kinds of trauma, domestic violence, community violence,
yeah.
It was a natural for me. It was something that I felt that God called me to be a part of.
Yeah, this kind of work has to be a calling from God or a higher power, without a doubt. Let me ask you this before I let you go, because this I thought was pretty interesting. In the WFSB piece that you were featured in about this story about these seven men, you said that you were talking about women and men, boys and girls, and how to recognize them. Not that I need a breakdown of statistics, but that is important to note, that those who are being trafficked, it is not, because many people also, another sort of cliche that we hear in the trafficking, is that we never think about the boys.
We never think about the boys and the men.
Yeah.
And even there's a little more focus on boys now, but I think it's still very difficult for us to wrap our minds around grown men being trafficked. Men have passed through our program, men who have been trafficked. I have met several men who are now advocates who have, declared that they openly declared that they were trafficked, and they're now reaching out to help other men who have been trafficked, because it is actually a huge population of trafficked men, not only across the nation, but in Connecticut. But there's so much stigma connected to that. And if you're a black man, it's really magnified.
I can imagine that the humiliation is incredibly difficult for them to come forward if indeed they are victimized by this tragedy. That's so interesting. Nadine, I'm going to end here, but I want to say this, please. I have your cell phone number. I got to bring you back, one, because I want more and more people to find out about this. And what we've learned over the last year is that there are so many people in the state of Connecticut that are being trafficked. Yes. And I really want to put a lot of focus on your organization and what you're doing, and on trafficking in the state. So please, I'll reach out to you. I want to get you back as often as I can, maybe even twice a month, okay?
I would love that, Reese, because that's a part of our program, really spreading awareness about the state of trafficking in Connecticut.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Nadine Thomas, go check her out. It is theundergroundne.org. That is the organization to go help her out and find out more information about trafficking, stuff that you don't know. And they're there to help you. Nadine, thank you again. I'm going to put her, let me put her on hold. All right, let's get to another check of weather and traffic. Our good friend Mark Christopher, he's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
Stay locked in. Locked in. Reese on the radio is on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
I guess no one knew that I was going to have Nadine on. I'm like, I'm getting all of these great accolades. Nadine is good people. Interviewed her and Lori Blackburn about their ministry. I did not know that. I did not know that they had a ministry. I should have asked her about that. But that's okay. We're going to have her on. We're going to get her on regularly because I'm just saying, just so everybody knows, okay, this trafficking thing is, like, important and intriguing to me because we're seeing it a lot in the state of Connecticut, and without a doubt, you know that there is a correlation with the illegals in this state and trafficking. You know it's there. And I'm going to make the connections, and I'm telling you, when I I'm going to bust this wide open. I've got some people, former police officers, current police officers, working on this, like quietly, to get to the bottom of this, and we're going to get names. We're going to get everything on of this because they know it's here. It's the one thing it would bust up the nonsense going on with politicians who are playing the, you know, ignoring it. It's like, oh, I didn't see it. Are you sure? Bob, John Larson was playing that game with me when I saw him on Sunday. Have the proper authorities been informed? Yes, they have. My question is how are you not informed? These are your constituents. These are the ones you keep telling us are your friends and neighbors. And we're watching them being trafficked. We're watching them be abused. This is slavery. You're not for slavery, are you? I don't want you just screaming and hollering at ICE. I want you screaming and hollering about the people who are doing these folks wrong, these vulnerable people wrong. I think it's great that guys like John Larson want to keep a mother with young children together. But if the mother is being used in labor trafficking and the children are barely eating or barely being clothed or living in a basement somewhere, or if the mother has to make a decision between her or one of her babies being used by one of these animals that John Larson and Chris Murphy are protecting, I wonder how they feel about that. You talk about parents being separated from their children. Ask yourself, whom would you like taking this woman away from her children? Would you like ICE to do it? Or would you like a cartel member taking their baby away to do God knows what? You tell me. And don't sit up and ask, because we can hear everybody all day saying, these are good people. Good. What about the other side? What about the bad people? Just saying. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I said so many people who want to get to the bottom of this. It'd be the story of a lifetime.